This morning, when we get to our Bible reading, it'll be at Philippians chapter 3. I may share a verse or so before that. But last Sunday, if you were here, you heard a sermon about making a conscious decision to put our plans aside. We talked about taking our plans and being willing to say, these are no longer my plans. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. To make that conscious effort to say, I'm going to be the person that God created me to be. I'm going to follow God's plan. I shared with you last Sunday from Ephesians chapter 4 and 22 and 23 where it says you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self. So we talked about taking off the old self and putting on the new. And part of being a new person is leaving that old person behind. But that's a roadblock. That is a very, very big roadblock for people. I've told you this before, and most of the time when I talk about this, it's at a baptism service. But in ancient times, in the Jewish faith, if someone wanted to become a Jew, if you weren't a part of the Jewish faith, if you're not an Israelite, and you say, well, I want to be a Jew. I want to follow their God. You had to go through three steps. You know, the males had to be circumcised, and you had to go through all the cleansing ceremonies, and there's all this. The final step in becoming a Jewish person, man or woman, the women would go with women, the men would go with men, and you disrobe completely, and you go into this little room, and you submerge yourself in this cleansing water all the way over your head so that every part of you is under the water. And when you come out of the water, you have considered yourself a brand new person. You've left your old life behind. You take on a new name, and you consider yourself a Jewish person. I am no longer whoever I was when I came in here. I'm brand new. I live the life of a Jewish person. I take on all customs. I have a new name. You leave your old life behind. Now imagine how difficult that must have been for some people. Imagine, if you will, that your family isn't Jewish, but you want to be. And so you have to look at them and say, well, I'm going to go start a whole new life. I'm going to change my name from our family name. I'm no longer going to be a part of this family. I'm going to go do this. And so for some people, I'm sure just for that very simple reason, they wouldn't do it. And I know for people today, thinking about changing their life drastically, thinking about new habits, stopping some of the things that they've been doing their whole life, thinking about telling their friends that they're not going to do what they used to do with them, starting to hang out with a new crowd. Instead of doing what we used to do every weekend, now we're going to start going to church. When they think about taking their old life and putting it aside and being new, it's a monstrous roadblock. That is one of the things that stops them. So one of the questions I have today is, have you left your old life behind? Or are you doing the juggling act like millions of people do, where they think they can have both? They think, well, I'll become a Christian, I'll accept Christ, but I'm pretty much going to live like I always did before. I'll just kind of put Jesus in there. And that's what many people think they can do. That we just take Christ, insert him into our old life, and then we have the best of both worlds. But that's not what the Bible teaches us in any way, shape, or form. In fact, the Apostle Paul is a perfect example of a man who had to leave his old life behind and become someone new. And if you read the way Paul writes multiple times scripturally, in fact, the one I've already shared with you, one I'm getting ready to share with you, multiple times Paul talks about leaving your old life and starting a new one. Paul's name used to be Saul. He was a Jewish man. He was killing Christians. He was the coolest of the cool, according to the Jews. But he had to leave that life behind and become someone new, changed his name to Paul. And you're going to read a little bit about that as we start our scripture today. In Philippians chapter 3, we're going to read 14 verses. It says, "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. I'm going to stop there just for a second. Notice, he's telling you, if somebody wants to brag, can't brag about more than me. And then he lists for them, you want to know how cool I was? When it comes to being a Jew, I was the Jewiest of the Jews. That's what he says. He says, I was a Pharisee, and he's on the top dog in the wall. When it came to persecuting Christians, I killed him. I had him thrown in jail. Nobody persecuted him better than I did. There's nothing that you can brag about that I can't brag about more. You got education? I was educated by the best teacher in the world. Paul says, if you want to brag, I can brag about more. But then he says, but I consider it all lost. It's a big deal, people. He goes on in verse 8, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. And not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold for me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. We thank you for men like Paul who have taken their old life and cast it away and started anew. And Father, I pray that that might be a reflection of what we also can do in our lives to leave the old behind and become someone new. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Notice again there in those first verses where Paul begins to talk about his past. He's a Jew. He grew up as good as it can get. As good as it can get. But he had two problems. As he got older, his problems were twofold. He realized that his past was worldly and it had made him proud. He had become very proud of the man that he was. And when it comes to the world's eyes, he literally was the top of the heap. When he snapped his fingers, when he said, let's do this, let's go there, people did it. When he told other people who were below him what to do, they did it. He was the top of the heap, but he realized that he had been striving for something wrong. He thought he was doing what God wanted him to do. He really did. As a Jewish person, he was doing what he thought God wanted him to do until he was confronted by Christ, and he realized he was striving for the wrong goal. And although the world would have put him on a pedestal, although the world would have said, you can't get better than Saul, inwardly, he knew he was wrong. When confronted by Christ, he felt bad. He felt shame. He felt guilt for what he had done. Now, some of you who are sitting here this morning, if you ask anybody that knows you, they might say, oh, they're great people. Love them. Wonderful. Good friends. So nice. But there might still be things in your life that make you feel terrible. That you have in your life that brings guilt, that brings shame, that you don't want anybody to know, that you would never talk about with other people. The world could put you on a pedestal, but you might still feel really low. Paul would have been at that point. There's only one thing you can do. There's only one thing you can do at that point, and Paul says it in verse 13. He says, I forget what is behind, and I strain towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize which God has called me. That's what he's saying. I've got to take whatever is behind me, and I've got to leave it there. There's, at this point, nothing I can do about that. said wrong. I've been to the wrong places. I've been around the wrong people. I've done all kinds of things I shouldn't have done. But I've got to leave it behind and become someone new. I can tell you today that no matter what your past is, whether you feel like you're on the top or whether you feel like you are the lowest of the low, I want you to understand today why you have to leave your past behind. Because you either are or can be a new creation. And when I say you either are, if you're a Christian today, if you've accepted Christ, you are someone new. If you've never accepted Christ, you can be someone new. This is what I want you to understand. This is what the Bible teaches us. The same writer who's written the verses I've already shared with you, he wrote again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. He says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. But if you think about the life of Paul, doesn't it make sense that he wrote that over and over and over again? I don't think he was just telling you. I think he was reminding himself. Do you know how many times Paul had to tell himself that, Paul, that was the old you. You're not that person anymore. Do you know how many times he was reminded about the old him? Do you know how many times Jewish people must have come to him and said, you used to say Jesus wasn't the Messiah. You used to kill those people. And now you're out hanging out with them? You know, that might happen to you. You might decide to accept Christ, and you might start coming to church, and people might say, you're going to church? That's not what we used to do. Remember we used to talk about how crazy those people are? And all of a sudden, you're being confronted about the old you versus the new you. And you have to decide. Whose eyes do I want to look good in? When it really comes down to it, what's going to matter? When I stand before the throne, do I want to tell Jesus that I took his plan and I did what he asked me to do? Or am I going to try to explain to him that I was trying some of that other stuff because I didn't want to get made fun of? So you have to take that old life and leave it behind. Paul is stressing to us the importance of leaving our old life. When you meet Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you actually do become someone new. He changes you from the inside out. One of the things that happens, you know, if you accept Christ and you're the same, something's wrong. Right? It didn't take. You missed a prayer or two. You didn't actually ask for forgiveness or you didn't quite get the message right, because if you accept Christ and nothing happens, you didn't accept Christ. I don't know how better to explain that to you. Because when you accept Christ, he changes you. You can't stay the same. I don't care how good somebody is in your eyes. Right? And some of us have grandparents like that. When you think of them, you think, I can't imagine what it is they ever did wrong. Right? You never saw anything in them. You might think, I can't imagine them saying something they shouldn't to somebody. I can't imagine them doing. They lived right. They did. And even them, when they accepted Christ, they were somebody new. Probably the person you knew growing up. You don't know who they were before that. But I can tell you, you become this person that is so far different than who you were before. You see, that person before might have been a person that lived in sin. That person before is a person who makes mistakes and continues to fall over the same roadblocks. But Jesus wants to forgive you. And the Bible says not only can he forgive you, he does what we can't, and he forgets. And that's a big deal. Not only does he forgive, he forgets. And the Bible says he casts our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. It says that he casts them as far as the east is from the west. He gets rid of them. People, that's a big deal. That he can look at me and he no longer sees the things that I did wrong. He sees somebody new whose sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now I have the ability to be transformed, to become somebody that I always wanted to be, but couldn't do it. We all have that person in mind, I feel like. That person we want to be, that person that we strive to be, but we've tried and we fail. You know, the person that couldn't change their bad habits, that's the old me.
the person that was strung out with an addiction, that's the old me, right? Well, no, I'm not that person anymore. See, I used to be afraid, and I knew I could never break this habit. When I accepted Christ, he helped me to do that. The old me couldn't do it, but with Jesus, I can. See, God will not call you to do anything that Jesus won't help you do. And so you might be sitting in church today and think, I can never do those things. I can never follow all those rules. By yourself, you can't. But with Jesus, you can. He will make you new. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you become someone who can be the person God created you to be. It's the only way. It's the only way. People all over the world try to follow the guidelines in here without God's help. What's funny is, a lot of people in the world who don't like church and they won't tell you they believe in God and they don't care about Jesus. But if you ask them what kind of person they want to be, if you ask them their morals, if you ask them those kind of things, it all goes right back to this book. They want to be loving. People should be more kind. People should be at peace with each other. They do all these things and they list them. Those all come from this book. The laws that we uphold in our communities all come from this book. The morals, the people that you know that are good and moral, whether they accept Christ or not, they've got those things from this book. So what I'm telling you is the only way you're ever, anybody in the world, is going to achieve those things is by allowing Christ to make them new and allow the Holy Spirit to help them achieve those things. You're not going to make it on your own. You cannot make it on your own. Maybe you've been a parent who's led your children the wrong way. Maybe for years you haven't taught your kids the way that you should, and you know you need to be a better parent. The only way to be that better parent is to accept Christ and become a new parent. Doesn't matter what age your kids are, you can be new. People, I taught this lesson at the nursing home. Those people don't have very long to be new, but they can still do it. Still do it. It does not matter what age you are. You can be new. I've seen it. I've seen people who were hateful and mean and liars and drunks and addicts and all kinds of things. And they met Jesus and they become someone new. Totally different person. Blows you away. And then I see the person who says they met Jesus and they're exactly the same. People, that ain't real. It's not real. Jesus changes you. And I want you to know that change today. If you're not the wife or the husband that you need to be, and you know you're not, you've actually really tried to do better, but you've never allowed God to help you, let him in. Let him make you new. You need his help. If you're that kind of person that you spend your life nowadays with your head down, and you're ashamed of yourself, and you've done all kinds of things in your life that you know you shouldn't have, and it's embarrassing, and you feel guilty, you need to know the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. So you can say, that was the old me. This is somebody new. And that's what you need to know. Not only will Jesus forgive you, but he gives you the ability to forgive yourself. And he transforms your life. You're a child of the King. You need to figure that out at some point in your life. That you are a child of the King. That God loves you. That God created you. That he has a purpose for you. And that you have as much reason to be here. And you are just as important as anybody else. Just because they're in the movies, they're on TV, or they make more money, nobody is more important to God than you are. And he wants to make you new. And he wants you to be the person that he created you to be. But you're going to have to leave that stuff behind. You have to set that stuff aside and walk away. People, I know what that feels like. There's no way I could do the things that I do without God's help. I didn't even want to do the things that I do for a living. I told him no for years. I said, I'm not doing it. And if we're honest, there was multiple reasons that I said no. One is it's not the job I wanted. But two, it's terrifying. Terrifying. For God to look at you and say, hey, your job is going to be to tell people my word. Wait a minute, that sounds kind of important, God. Well, yeah. No matter how many people I put in front of you, you have to stand up there and tell them my message for them. You know how many times in the Bible he did that? Those people, they said, I can't do that. Look at all the times the prophet said, no way. Jonah went and got thrown into a giant fish because he was running from God. I'm not the only one that ran away. Lots of them run away because this job is terrifying. And that's not even to think about the job that I have as a husband or a father or a friend. Those are hard and terrifying jobs too. I would fail, and I still fell out of some, but I can't even imagine trying them without God's help. There is nothing that I can do according to God's plan without his help. You know me as a confident person, sometimes overly confident person, but you don't know how scared I am. You don't know how terrifying it is to try to do all the things that God wants you to do, knowing that biblically it says you will be held to a higher standard. That's scary stuff. And so it'll be a whole lot easier to be like, yeah, can somebody else do that? And he says, no, I chose you. And so whatever your opportunity is, and that's really what it is, we've got to stop thinking, oh, this is a response. No, it's an opportunity. The King of all kings, God created you for a purpose. So anything he offers you is an opportunity. He says, come with me. I've got something I want you to do. And instead of going, oh, I don't think I can do it, well, he says, I know you can because that's why I made you. So come on. Anything you try outside of him, that's what you can't do. That's what you're going to mess up. That's where you're going to fail. The only place you're going to find happiness, joy, peace, and contentment is doing exactly what he asked you to do, no matter how terrifying, scary, or hard it may seem. Leaving your old life and becoming new is the only way. It is. And I know it sounds big, and I know there's multiple reasons why we don't do it. One of the biggest reasons is because we're stuck with our old life and we like it. Let's just be honest. A lot of people don't become Christians because they're attached to their old life. Well, I like these habits. I like doing the things I do on the weekend. I like running around and jumping from relationship to relationship. And I like my bad habits and my addictions. And I like doing these things, is what you tell yourself until you're alone, thinking all night and can't sleep. But let me tell you, maybe you do enjoy your old life. Maybe you do. Maybe that's why you won't accept Christ. But your old life won't get you into heaven. I'll leave it at that. You can live your old life as long as you want, but it will not get you into heaven. It just won't. You can live it all the way up to the gate. But unless your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, you will not enter into the gates of heaven. And so what I'm telling you is, if for no other reason, if you want to go to heaven, you need to be made. But let me also assure you of this. One of the reasons people don't do it is because we're afraid to fail. We're afraid to fail. I just admitted to you, I'm still afraid to fail. But if you don't have Christ, you're guaranteed to fail. I know people get embarrassed because months ago they came to the pastor, and I've had talks with people, and they say, I'm really going to do better, and I plan on being here every week for church, and then they miss 14 in a row. They feel dumb coming back on the 15th. People are like, I feel really, I told Pastor I was going to be there, and now I haven't been. Or we told everybody in our family, okay, guys, tonight I want to tell you all, I've made a decision. I'm going to stop drinking, no more partying, no more. And then 2 weeks later, we fell off the wagon, and now we're embarrassed. And we tell ourselves, I tried it before, and I failed. And we feel like a failure. It's hard to try to change something, and everybody knows you're trying to do better, and you just keep messing it up. But what I want you to know is, number one, God is a God of second chances. God is a God who knows our failings and loves us, but some of you have failed because you've never tried it with him. Some of you keep failing because you've never allowed Jesus to cleanse you, to forgive you, and help you start over. And that's what I'm calling you to do today. That's what I'm calling you to do. How did Paul go from being a legalistic Jewish person who murdered Christians to writing two-thirds of the New Testament? He did it because he left his old life behind completely, and he became someone new. And he says it over and over again, that the Holy Spirit lives through him. He said, not I, but Christ. Christ that lives within me. Peter, one of the disciples, failed multiple times. Jesus says, hey, they're going to come arrest me, and I'm going to die for your sins. And Peter says, well, I'll kill them. And Jesus is like, no, let's not do that. The guy shows up, Peter chops his ear off. Jesus is going, I thought we had to talk about this. Right? So Peter picks the guy's ear up, puts it back on, lets him arrest him, and Peter immediately starts telling people he doesn't know Jesus. 2 minutes ago, you were fighting people with a sword in a cemetery to keep Jesus free, but now you don't know him. But he starts, I don't know anything about him. And you know how bad that made Peter feel? But he became somebody new. Jesus was resurrected. He met with Peter, and he said, Peter. You know how embarrassed Peter was? He said, Peter, I love you. It's all right. I love you. Now go feed my sheep. And Peter dedicated his new life to being everything that God wanted him to be. And in 2 Peter, one of his letters, 1st chapter, verse 3, it says, his divine power has given us all we need for life and godliness. That's Peter's message to you. Peter, who became somebody totally different than he was before, looks to you and he says, hey, I know it's tough. I know it's scary. He'll give you everything you need. Everything. And that's what I want you to know today. You will lack nothing. If you will allow him to make you someone new, you will never be alone. You will never be doing something at your own risk. You'll never be out trying to fulfill God's purpose without everything that you need to do it. You'll become that person that can overcome the devil and all of his devices and the desires that he gives you. You can overcome sin. It doesn't just say that he forgives you of sin. He helps you overcome sin. Some of you probably have somebody you need to forgive. Somebody hurt you a long time ago, and you're an angry person, or you carry that around, or you allow something that happened to you years ago continue to destroy your life, and you need to leave that behind and walk away and say, I'm not that person anymore. I need to forgive. I need to allow God to help me to begin to forget. People, it's a process. I'm in the middle of the process still. God's still working on me. But you've got to become new and start that process. Years ago, and to be honest with you, I don't know if Mom and Dad used to write children's songs when we did children's work. I don't know if this is one of the ones they wrote or not. But I know we used to fight over who got to hold the signs because we didn't used to have these things. We used to write the words on poster boards, and you stand up front and hold the words, and we had cut the signs to look like robes, and we held robes, and one of the songs we sang was, I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do was take off my old robe and put on the new. My old robe was dirty and all tattered and torn, but my new robe is spotless and never been worn, and I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. Let's take off my old robe and put on the new. The kids love to sing that. And then when they sit down, you say, do you know what that means? And the kids say, well, what does it mean? You say, well, our old life is that life where we did what the devil wanted us to, and we kind of make it dirty, and we do things we're not supposed to, and then we feel bad, and we feel guilty, and we don't really want to wear that anymore, but what are we going to do? And that new robe is the one that Jesus comes, and he says, I want to give you something new. And the great thing is when he gives you that new robe, he says, now let me help you keep it clean. Now, if he just gave you that new robe and said, hey, don't get it dirty again and walk off, we have it messed up 2 minutes later. You've bought your kids new shoes before, right? You know how that works. But Jesus doesn't. He gives you the new robe and he says, hey, I'm right here. I'll keep you out of the muck. I'll keep you out of the mire. Just stay with me and I'll keep you clean. And that's what I'm telling you to do today. Turn the old life in. Walk with Jesus. Be the person he's created you to be. I promise you, it's the only way. I have no qualm saying this. It is the only way that you will find the happiness, contentment, love, and peace that you really want. It's the answer for you. It's the answer for your friends and family. It's the answer for the world. I don't care what news channel you watch. The answer for the world is people need to be made new in Jesus Christ. Changing laws doesn't work. Changing hearts does. And that's what needs to happen for us today.